Thank you, Dr. Dines. This is the Monadnock Summer Lyceum, hosted by the Unitarian Universalist Church in Peterborough, New Hampshire, and broadcast on New Hampshire Public Radio. We have some time for questions from our audience, and while the ushers collect them, let me begin by asking my two-part question. One premise in our Judeo-Christian culture is that woman is a temptress. How has that historical heritage impacted the prevalence of pornography in our Western culture? And secondly, are any non-Judeo-Christian cultures experiencing the same rise in the levels of pornography, or are they somehow immune because of their cultural differences?
Well, first of all, thank you for the question. First of all, the notion of woman as temptress has kind of morphed into woman as filthy, dirty whore. That's the kind of message. And of course, there's no such thing as a whore. I want to make that clear. That's, again, a male invention. What women are prostituted into it by pimps. But the message in porn is that she's vile, she's disgusting, she's got no humanity, and anything that you want to do to her, any level of violence that you want to do to this woman, she loves. The image of women in porn that men have who use porn is that somehow this woman one day, just by accident, wandered onto a porn set and said, oh, people do this for a living? I've been looking for this all my life. That's not how you get into porn. You end up in porn because of abuse, because you're being pimped into it. And the notion that happens is that indeed women are temptresses. That's the key message. The second is now with the mobile phones and basic access to the internet, I think this is spreading all over the world. I think one of the reasons we're looking, for example, at this incredible increase in the level of rape in places like India, partly, not only, but part of the reason I would argue is that that country is being flooded with pornography via mobile phones. Previously, these countries did not have access to porn because you had overcrowding. There was maybe one computer in the middle of the house and the men couldn't use porn. The mobile phone has made porn portable all over the world. Now, it's not the only reason why women are raped, and no social scientist would actually reduce it to one. But I would say it's part of the story, yes.
Thank you. One of our questions from our audience. Because it isn't possible to end access to pornography on the internet, what suggestion do you have for the porn industry for how to provide pornography that supports healthy sexual development?
I would argue that's like asking McDonald's to go into French cuisine, right? McDonald's produces hamburgers. That's the industry product. The porn industry produces hardcore violent porn. That's its product. So I would say there is no way that anything other than what we see now is coming out of that porn industry. Porn is a business. It has business plans and it coalesces around a particular type of product, just like all businesses. So my argument would be if you want alternative images that are life-affirming and that are egalitarian, it's not going to come out of the porn industry.
Thank you. Ooh, here's another question. What proportion of men have been trained by our culture to hate their bodies?
To hate their bodies. Well, it's increasing. If you look at the use of steroid abuse and you go to the gyms, you're seeing increasingly men are beginning also to hate their bodies. It's not anywhere near the same level as women, but I would say there is a mass push. Why? Because it creates profit. You know, all of these products and all of these protein powders and everything else that are sold. So I would say, yes, it's increasing, and probably in a few years it might very well be at the same level if we continue this way.
How do you assess the beautiful, bright, look-alike women on Fox TV? What type of committee chooses them? How do you assess the beautiful, bright, look-alike women on Fox TV? What type of committee chooses them?
I wouldn't know who. I mean, I think, do we want to go into Fox Television and the way it produces a certain type of ideology that legitimizes neoliberal capitalism? That I can certainly talk about. The role of Fox in shifting the way that people think in the notion that we do not live as a collective, that we are not all bound together in this thing called society, but rather the more neoliberal position that Fox pushes is that we're all individuals, we should all look out for ourselves, and we all know how well that does. So I would argue more that part is interesting about Fox, not what the women look like.
And on that similar line, is pornography leaking into TV shows and movies that we think are mainstream?
Oh, everywhere, absolutely. I mean, I can't tell you how many films I see, regular movies, and I say, oh, clearly a porn user wrote this direct. I mean, you can just feel the pornography in it. What you see increasingly is the pornographic image of women in the movies. I mean, again, think of how many great female actresses there are over the age of 35 or 40. You've got a handful, but there's tons of men you can say who are over 35 and 40. That's part of the porn culture, that once women are no longer hypersexed, then you throw them out, throw them away. Also, what's interesting is this generation of men, the first generation of men to come of age in the porn culture where they had 24/7 access, are now beginning to go into movie making. They're becoming politicians, they're becoming doctors, they're becoming lawyers, they're becoming teachers, they're becoming priests, rabbis. You have to begin to think the long-term effects of what it is that these men have been groomed by pornography, who then become adults and have access to lots and lots of children, have access to power, and also make policy on how women and their children are going to live or die. These are men, by the way, who think that women are disposable. And if you look at the fact at how women and children are treated in this society, look at the fact that there's very little, very few companies that actually do parental leave for women after they've had babies, look at the way in which children are ignored in this culture, it's beginning to tell you that a lot of men are making a lot of policies where women and children are completely invisible to them. Unless, of course, they're hypersexualized. Look, and that lasts for a few years, so the rest of us can just be thrown away.
Thank you. Now, this one cuts to the chase. What can a grandmother of three teenagers do besides becoming an activist to influence her grandchildren?
Well, it depends on the age. First of all, never besides becoming an activist. That is always the key. Being an activist is the key. Let me tell you, there is not a study anywhere in the world that really proves to the oppressor that they should stop oppressing, right? There's no empirical study that is going to prove to anybody who oppresses that the oppressor doesn't like it and they're going to say, oops, sorry, we'll stop. What stops oppressors is activism, us. People here today who band together and say we've had enough. So I would say, don't say besides being an activist, that is key. If they're old enough, I would definitely suggest my book, which lays out, it's really the only book, I think, post-internet that lays out what's happening to young people. I would also suggest you become active in Stop Porn Culture. We have a volunteer page that people fill in, and we have a volunteer coordinator. That is key. And also, I think to say to boys especially, is that if you look at pornography, you are going to be robbed of your authentic, creative sexuality. Every human being has a right to their own sexuality. And what it looks like depends on who you are, your experiences, your peer group. It's all about who you are. And if you look at porn, what you do is you hand them over your sexuality. You give them something that you've not even fully explored yourself as a kid. And for girls, what I would say is that you have a right to own your own bodies. It is not something that should be on display for boys to look at. But ultimately, asking somebody to do this on an individual level is like telling parents that they have to protect their children from pollution. You can't do it. You simply can't do it. It's an activist endeavor that we have to think about.
Thank you. Are there any first world countries that have been able to resist the porn culture? And if so, what might we learn from them?
Well, there is Scandinavia is a really good story. So let's begin, first of all, where a lot of pornography ends, which is men going to prostituted and trafficked women. A lot of pornography ends there because the pornography that men see and the acts they see, a lot of women in their lives will not do them, so they have to go to women who can't say no, and the only women who can't say no are prostituted and trafficked women. So in Sweden and in Norway and in Iceland, they have what is called the Nordic model. It outlaws the buying of sex, but it decriminalizes the women and gives them the social services, the job retraining, and everything they need. That is the prize that we should bring in here, is the Nordic model on prostitution, whether it's the Johns and the pimps who are criminalized and not the women. I was in Iceland last year, and they brought me over to Iceland at the invite of the Minister of the Interior, because they wanted to do something about hardcore pornography. Why? Because written into the constitution in Iceland is that women and men are equal. And they recognize that if Icelandic men have access to hardcore porn, it undermines the constitution that women and men are equal. So what I would argue is that we need to start thinking of ways of regulating the porn industry in a way that's called Gulliver's strategy. You're never going to come up with one way to regulate that's going to get rid of a predatory industry. But you can come up with lots and lots and lots of pieces of legislation that make it hard for them to produce hardcore pornography. Iceland or Sweden or Norway will be the first country, I am sure, to outlaw hardcore pornography. And by the way, you will not find a more pro-sex country than Iceland. Right? They're doing it for all the right reasons, which is basically for the civil rights of women and children.
How do your students respond to this information, the roles that females take on as they become teenagers, and how do your male students respond?
It's really interesting. I go around the country lecturing. I have an agent, and she books me all over both this country and elsewhere. So what happens is I'll go into a college, and there'll be 500 students. And at the front will be a lot of the guys with their, you know, baseball caps turned backwards, and they'll be sitting there, and I can see what they're thinking. What has this middle-aged woman got to say about Matt? You can literally see the contempt pouring off them, right? And then I start to talk. And then you physically see them move closer to me. Closer and closer. And because someone is explaining their life like it has never been explained before. I virtually meet no hostility. They line up to tell me their stories. Often, please help me get off this porn. I can't stand it. I can't stop it. I can't have sexual relations with my girlfriend. I'm not interested. I've lost all interest in sex with other women. I only want my porn. I have them sitting, they've never met me, and they're sitting there often weeping, saying, help me. For the women, they are literally begging for more because they are so sick of living and dating these guys from a porn culture. They are so tired of having to deal with these guys. I mean, students tell me regularly, you go to a bar, it is standard practice for guys you've never met to come up to you and start basically touching you all over. It is standard when you go to a bar. The stories they tell are amazing. And when somebody comes in and explains to them in language that's a little different to what I've used here, remember, because I'm on radio, I'm a little bit more explicit when I speak to colleges, they can't get enough of it. They follow me into the parking lot. Literally, I can't get it. I can't get home. That's how much, yeah.
And our last question. Are you aware of the sexuality program developed by the Unitarian Universalists and Congregationalists? And if so, what is your opinion?
I do know there is one because I've spoken to people in your organisation. I've never actually looked at it for me to see what it's like. My question would be, does it contain a whole unit on pornography? The answer, yes or no, I don't know. Anyone know? Does it? It does, yeah. Well, I would like to really take a look at it because if that's the case, then you are way ahead of the game of everybody else. What's interesting is that schools do not want me to come in to talk about pornography. They do not want me to talk about the things that their average 12-year-old boys are looking at non-stop. I mean, it is ludicrous. What, they think I'm going to introduce them to pornography if I mention the word porn? These kids need to be taught media literacy. They need to become educated around these issues. Schools have to begin to wake up to the fact that we are living in the 21st century where most boys' sex education comes from pornography. If they do not, they leave the girls at risk of being abused and raped, and they leave the boys at risk of being traumatized by the pornography. So we have to wake up to the world that we live in. We continue to bury our heads in the sand, then all you do is you hand your kids over to the pornographers. And I'm sure we don't want to do that.
Thank you, Dr. Dines, for sharing your time and expertise with us today.
It was a pleasure. Thank you very much for inviting me.